Thank you. Following up on sale of city real estate, I want to also just share in that it's very disappointing what happened with Wynn. It was actually only at the time of reading the budget address, that is the moment that I found out that Wynn was no longer moving forward. Certainly had some hints of that based on the lack of affirmative responses to my emails through the city planner to Wynn, in which I was repeatedly offering to write a letter of support this last year, and they weren't exactly getting back to us on that. And then eventually I think that Wynn indicated to us that they weren't asking me to write a letter of support for this year. So that certainly was not an encouraging sign, but I would have liked to get more of a heads up on the status of that. And this evening, the first I'm hearing of subdividing. So I do have some concerns as to that because, well, there are certainly the must-haves and the want-to-haves when it comes to that land in the future. I would certainly, in advocating for the residents there, considering that field that's behind Aldridge, which there may be some money in that field if it were to be sold. I remember talking to Hugh Fisher many years ago, rest in peace. He was indicating to me back then, and this is from someone, a developer who did not bid on Aldridge when it came up for sale at the same time as Rhodes. He and his company bid on Rhodes, but not Aldridge. And he was telling me that the Aldridge building this is, of course, at that time, which would have been over a half dozen years ago before COVID. Things change, obviously. But at that point in time, Hugh Fisher saw it as the money was in the field as opposed to being in the building. When, at the time that they bid, obviously they saw things the opposite way around because they were willing to leave the field while really wanting the building. But what I'm getting at with that is that field behind Aldridge, putting aside Belmont Park, which is a bit out of the way, if you take a look at that rectangle between the Patuxent River and Post Road, and between Elmwood Ave and Warwick Ave, that rectangle there, Belmont Park aside, Aldridge Field is the only nice big green space for park activities, things of that nature. Certainly there's Sprague Field across the way, commonly known as the Pit, but that involves crossing Post Road, which isn't the most conducive to a family with a stroller or the like. Can be done, but I'd be a little bit leery. So if it's at all possible to try to see what we can do in terms of preserving that field, in addition to, and of course this is why Wynn pulling out is just so incredibly disappointing, because Wynn's proposed use of the Aldridge building itself was highly compatible with the neighborhood. So I understand we might not be able to accomplish all of the objectives 10 out of 10, 100%, but to the extent possible, if we can get to that place of finding a highly compatible use for that building, highly compatible with the neighborhood, that is, and also preserving those fields, I think that's something that we really have to look at as, and I'm here advocating for Ward 2 as a matter of a land use issue, advocating for the neighborhood. That's something where I would see it as an item that you have to look at how that land is going to be used year after year, decade after decade, weighed against a mere one-time amount of money coming in. looking at it for the next 50 years out. If something brings in $1 million less this one time, but really does so much for the neighborhood for the next 50 years and further, perhaps. That's certainly a trade-off I'd be more than willing to advocate for the neighborhood. So want to make sure to make that statement on that line item, because $3 million, I would certainly hope that between the Aldridge property and the admin building, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be able to hit those numbers for something highly compatible with the neighborhood. But when it comes to a piece of land like that, that's central to the neighborhood, it's more than just the one-time revenue, of course.
First, Councilman, I sincerely apologize. I should have given you a call. It's a relatively new development, and it took us some time to get out of the Wynn agreement legally. The land in the back has a 6F restriction on it for recreational use only. We may or may not be able to get out of that, but what I've told the planning department is carve it out, keep it separate from the other property, because I'd also like to keep that there. And call my chief of staff, and we'll meet with you on it in the next couple of weeks with planning. They've just done some very penciled-in preliminary work. And I apologize again. I told you about it last time. That's on me.
Thank you. I appreciate it and appreciate you.
We have the same goal. I still want to keep the building up, too. I don't know if that'll be possible now, but you know, I'd still like to keep the building. But I'd like to keep, and we were going to get the recreational fields in the back from Wynn. So I guess sometimes it is too good to be true.
Right.
And it right. was.
But it sounds like we're very much on the same page with goals. Thank you. Let's see. Other items on the revenue budget. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, obviously, a number of these are simply hard to predict. It seems like, on balance, even if I might say that perhaps the estimate on the Appanog rink, that's potentially a little on the high side. On the other hand, compared to some of the projections and previous revenues on the taxes coming in regarding the stamp tax, so to speak, those might be projected a little low. Overall, I don't have a lot to criticize when it comes to the projected revenue. You know, one item that does stand out to me, this is particular to the city clerk. I see line item 3649. It appears that you were lucky number $7. Set for fiscal year 2025. So, hey, there's always that. Let's aim for lucky number 7. That's all. Thank you.
Does any member of the public wish to speak on revenue?
Hi, Michelle Comar, Ward 1. I think I have 4 items. Councilman Napa, I did ask when the police were here before the council on their budget, what it cost for police to work on the school cameras, speed cameras. I specifically said school, and they said $200,000. So I'm expecting that to be reflected somewhere in the budget, in the revenue?
That's over in the police department's budget. It's in one of their, it's not a revenue, it's over in the police department's expense budget.
Okay, so we really don't see the net, the net gain from the speed cameras, because it does cost our police department time.
Sure, it all goes to the kind of the bottom line. By the net, I mean that Altamont makes us our payment with their fees taken already. We don't take in revenue and then pay Altamont.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yep.
And the General Assembly allows, by state law, for Warwick to get fees because we host the airport.
Yes.
Is that reflected in here?
It is.
Is it the hotel tax at 1.5 million?
It is an even $500,000 on page 51.
And
03326, even 500. It's the fourth one down.
326. Okay. See the hotel tax.
I'm going to dot it.
Oh, thank you.
It's this one.
All right. So that's a steady 500,000 for the last few years, I guess, couple years.
Correct.
What is the hotel tax economic development, which is projected to be 1.5 million?
That is 1% of the 5% of the tax paid when you stay in a hotel in Warwick.
Okay. Nothing to do with the airport directly.
Not directly, but...
Right.
Yes, it does have to do with the airport.
Mooring fees. I think it's the last, near the last item on a page 49. I thought these were pretty competitive. And could you explain why the number varies over the years?
Yeah. I mean, we raised the mooring fees.
Yeah, but it's actually decreasing.
Yeah, that's a line that's kind of hard to predict. So there are some places where you can just see I'll pull a three-year average. That is a place where I would typically do that kind of thing.
So you have good records for past years?
Of course.
Right. Do we charge work residents something different than somebody from Minnesota?
Mooring fee is not my area of expertise.
I'm sorry,
mooring fees is not something I'm very well versed in. I don't have a boat. Bill?
Mayor? I'm looking at Councilman Latter. He may know more about it than we do. we charge organizations differently than we charge individuals, don't we? Are you sure? You've talked to Jeff so many times. Our harbor master is not here. We didn't anticipate that question, but
right.
Our mooring fees are set.
Okay.
I know we went up on the rates. I know in East Greenwich Cove area, there's been some additional moorings added. So I'm not quite sure why the number is down, other than what the director said. It's just a subjective number. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I probably will contact the harbor master and ask if there's two fee structures for resident versus non-resident. Because
yep.
I think they're federal waters and you can't be prejudiced.
Hollywood probably knows, but she's not here either.
Okay.
The commercial moorings, I believe, are more, but I'm not sure how many commercial moorings we have. And the, we'll call it the residential moorings, mm-hmm. Not sure if there's a different fee for a non-resident versus mm-hmm. a Warwick resident. I'm just not sure.
I think many years ago, at least, last time I checked there.
It would be pretty easy to run a number, though, because we have X amount of moorings
right.
at X amount of dollars and cents, and that tells you what it is, because there's a waiting list for moorings.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And my last question is, the city council passed the mayor's suggestion about the tax title sales, and these are old tax titles. First come, bidder gets the sale if they pay the back taxes. Have we had any of those as revenue yet?
Not yet. We have about four on hold at the moment. We're actually working on updating the process, especially around the legal documents. But we only have about four.
About four, okay. All right, thank you.
Yep.
I do want to state for the record that the airport gets us this, zero. They used to pay us $500,000 a year in pilot money. They stopped paying it. They said the FAA said they didn't have to pay it. The state of Rhode Island has a general law that if they stop paying it, they would have to give us the $500,000. So the airport gives us nothing. We get the hotel taxes. The hotels are here because of the airport, but I'd rather have that 1,400 acres of land, tell you the truth. It'd be a lot more lucrative, but they give us nothing.
Is it true that RIAC doesn't charge the city for Station 2?
Excuse me?
For a fire station.
That's Station 8. That's on airport Thank land. You. And yes, they charge us to lease the land. The very fire station, the very fire trucks that go over there for medical emergencies.
All right, so they...
So we can't talk about that under revenue.
That's not... That's an expense. Thank you. All right, I'm all set. Thanks.
Okay. Councilman Lattiser. Oh, sorry. What's up?
Have some information on the mooring fees. So the mooring fee is $3 per foot with a $60 minimum for resident private and non-resident private. They're both the same. Commercial is $150 minimum.
Councilman Lattiser, are you good? Because all right. So it looks like that's it for revenue. So we move on to capital. So Councilman Lattiser, I see your light up.
Yes, I just want to clarify a few things. So police is, it says a vehicle fleet, and the budget is $1,100,000. Is that for one vehicle, or is that for two or three? I know further down it indicates three and two. First question is it for one vehicle? And if it is, what is that vehicle for $1,100,000?
1.1 is the multiple vehicles. We do about that for police every year.
Okay, so it'd be multiple vehicles.
Many, fleet vehicles, yeah.
And how many are multiple vehicles?
As many as that will pay for. I'm not sure.
Well, in terms of evaluating that number as a capital expenditure, I would need to know how many vehicles they're talking about purchasing. Is it three? Is it four? Is it 10?
I think it's more like 10, but Bill's looking it up.
Yeah, and I would be curious if it's purchasing or lease purchase, because this says lease.
This says lease, yeah.
Yeah. 14.
14. Okay. And on next item, medical rescue for fire. Is that one rescue?
Yes.
411? Okay, it's one. And a pumper truck, I assume that's one as well. And down further, we're on the smaller trucks and highway, it's got in parentheses three, so I'm assuming it's three vehicles, two vehicles, two vehicles, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have one follow-up on that vehicle fleet for police. I might have simply missed it. Is that 14 new leases or ongoing obligations for leases that already exist?
We plan on using a future lease purchase to buy 14 more vehicles.
All right, so it's a prospective 14, not a current. Got it. Did you turn your light back on, Councilman Lattiser? Councilman Muto?
So this capital budget is for new. Mm-hmm. Is there some place that we can that we can find out what's already been committed for those lease payments going forward?
Is it 26? I updated it in 26.
Where?
There's a column saying 26 current that you'll see, and then it totals all the way at the bottom.
And that
for what's obligated in 26. So in 26, we bought about $3.5 million of vehicles and for lease.
For the lease, though, don't we pay a lease payment every year?
Yeah, the payment will go next year, and then whatever we lease next year will go the year after. Kind of leapfrogs.
Yeah. Do we have a schedule that shows that, so we can look at the total lease commitments for the year?
Yeah. It's all reflected in the budget what the payments are in the debt.
Yeah, but is budget. That for all of it or? Okay. I'll follow up with that. Thank you.
Do any members of the public have anything for capital? All right, next up, we're moving on to enterprise funds. So first would be sewer.
Good evening. Betty Ann Rogers, Executive Director of Warwick Sewer Authority. I'm going to start with our budget for FY27. The request is for $19,264,051. This is slightly less, about 5% less than the approved FY26 budget. Our salary request of $3,201,417 is more than last year's approved budget by approximately 5.4% increase. It's important to note that our personal benefit back charge increased by about $65,000. And if you refer to our personnel supplement, it shows that we have 35 full-time positions. There was an error. It said 34 at the bottom, but there's actually, if you total up those numbers, there are 35 full-time positions. One returning retiree temp position, and there are no new positions since last year. All salary increases are contractual, the 3.25% and OPEB where applicable, and there are 7 longevity increases and 4 step increases, one of which is mine. I'm sure you're going to have questions about that, Councilman. And there was also one, I know that there was some information that was posted online about our assistant superintendent's salary. There was an error with last year's budget. It had him budgeted in at approximately $75,000. That was incorrect. That was his old salary. And he had, when he took the assistant superintendent's position, his salary increased. Plus, he was entitled to a longevity increase of 9.5% that year. So his salary should have been indicated as $90,214. That was, like I said, that was an error. And we've been working with the finance director as well as Aaron, and we really had a lot of communication back and forth this year regarding our personnel supplement. We are very confident going into FY27 budget requests because of the effort and the communication involved in putting that together. Unfortunately, there was that one little error with the 34 versus 35, but that was it. Everything else looks great.
So Director, yeah, you're correct. My question is, on executive director salary, there's an increase of $25,000. How is that?
That is a step, to the final step, step three. I'm at step three. I have both my base salary, which is about $132,000, but there's also about $18,500 in longevity. I've been working for the city since 1996, and I've accrued up to 14% interest, 14% longevity with my salary. So that's the final number is $150,330. Like I said, $132,000 is the base salary for my position. The rest is longevity.
But it says here that the salary for fiscal year 26 is $126,628. That's what your salary is now.
That's correct. That's correct.
But you're saying the base salary is 130. How can it be 130?
Because it's step when three. That was step two.
Excuse me?
That was step two, Councilman Lattiser. The 126 was step two. I'm going to be at top step. So the salary, base salary is 132. The longevity accounts for that increase.
Okay, so what you're saying is because you go to step three, your salary increases from 125 to 132, and then you have the longevity increase?
No, sir. The annual salary increases from 110,000. As with the step two, I had a base salary, which was 110 because I was at step two. And then there was longevity associated with that, which accounted for the $126,000 salary. At step three, my base salary is 131, and my longevity is 18,378. That 110 position, 110,000, $5 step two had $15,427 in longevity, 14%. That's where those numbers come from.
So this was a question I had asked earlier today. So unclassified employees also receive not only the step increase, but the longevity increase?
Yes, the percentages for longevity as well as the base salary, correct.
And the percentage of the longevity in your case?
Is
14%.
That's maxed out according to the contract.
Okay. And so repeat what you said regarding the assistant superintendent. There was it was a budget error. Instead of being 95,000, it's supposed to be 90,000. Is that what you said?
No. I'm sorry. I maybe misspoke.
Or maybe I
misunderstood. His salary was incorrectly indicated on the FY26 budget as 75,000. I can get you the exact amount.
Oh, so what's listed in the budget of 75,000, that's wrong.
75,189, which was incorrect. It should have been indicated as $90,214. And then there was longevity that was also added on to that.
And that's where he would, or whomever that is, would go up to 95,847.
That is correct.
And do we know how that error in the budget occurred?
Basically, the personnel supplement is not put together by us. So there was probably an error in looking at a former position that he was in. I can only assume that's what took place. And the numbers were published. And if you recall, last year we had a discussion that lasted several minutes regarding the errors that were in the personnel supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And following the meeting, we spoke with the chief of staff and the mayor and finance, and we discussed having more open lines of communication with both Aaron and Lynn, and it worked fabulously this year. I have zero complaints. And actually, it was quite enjoyable to get to see them and get out of the office once in a while.
Oh, I got my, bear with me one second. I got my personal fund right here. Hold on a minute. Is the assistant superintendent of sewers the same as the superintendent of sewer?
No, we have a superintendent and we also have an assistant superintendent.
Okay.
We have to, by Rhode Island law, and actually I believe this is a trickle down from EPA, we have to have at least one grade four person. It's a grade four license for wastewater operations on site at all times.
Okay.
And when the superintendent is not available, the assistant superintendent would take charge.
All right, I found it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And all the rest of these line items, there is no raises in any of those beyond contractual.
Just contract,
okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any plans for any tackling getting gap projects in Ward 2?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I wish I had a positive answer for you. We are pretty stretched out with other projects, mostly rehabilitation, replacement, and addressing climate resiliency, which is a hot topic, flooding. And we're concentrating our efforts. This first round with the loan that we took in December of 2025 with replacing three ejector stations that are well past their useful life and getting parts for them it's impossible. We're also going to reline Oakland Beach Force Main. We have a grant for that to help supplement that project. And we're doing an odor control and GT at our facility. Odor control is big with wastewater treatment facilities. And we've been waiting a while to get this project done. We're also next year going to work on Three Ponds rehabilitation as well as the Oakland Beach pump station replacement. If there are specific gaps projects, I would ask that you please email us with your concerns for certain areas, and we'll definitely address those as soon as possible. And it's possible that we could do smaller areas under our emergency contract for construction. So, and we are building our infrastructure fund, so possibly we could do a smaller project using that fund.
Well, that sounds good. There's a half dozen of streets in that same area, not too far from Aldridge, although a little closer to Elmwood Ave, but there is one tiny one in particular on Gardner. It's about a half dozen houses or businesses, but we can talk about those potential gap projects a little later on.
Sure.
And also, of course, with any gap project, I know that this would also involve getting buy-in from the businesses and the residents on that particular street.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
Just one question. The chemicals alum, it's the 248 code on page 7. I was just wondering why it jumped 22.4%.
Alum is very expensive. It's one of the chemicals that is required for our phosphorus removal in order for us to be compliant with our RIPD's permit. And the price can fluctuate. So we're seeing that particular chemical. It does have an aluminum consistency that's used to bind the phosphorus. So it's absolutely essential to the whole phosphorus removal process. So we're kind of at the mercy of the chemical suppliers. We have gone out to bid just recently. We were very pleasantly surprised to see that what we had projected, the numbers actually came down. So the other chemical prices were very reasonable, but alum did go up.
Ready, Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. Hi, Director. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is a little bit of rubbing some salt in Councilman Rick's area, but also getting an update from you. My area covers Oakland Beach. Would you mind talking about those two projects that are coming up this fiscal year?
I don't mind at all. The Oakland Beach Force Main Rehabilitation.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Oakland Beach Force Main Rehabilitation Project is going to, it's looking at relining the actual force main. So a force main's under pressure. And because of that, we have to evacuate the force main by bypass in order to gain access to the force main, inspect it, clean it, assess the condition, and then determine if it's relinable. Based on a previous force main project that we did on the Cedar Swamp Force Main, they're approximately the same vintage and the same materials. We feel that the condition will be absolutely relinable and that we'll be able to forego replacement of the force main, which is great. And the cure-in-place lining process is much quicker. There's much less excavation, so there would be less impact to the residents and the roadway. So that's one of the projects. The other project is the Oakland Beach Pump Station. That project, the Oakland Beach Force Main, we're ready to start that. So that project has been funded by the State Revolving Fund as well as an EPA grant. And we're just waiting for some of the submittals from the contractor regarding the bypass. So that's going to start imminent, probably within a month. Hopefully by the end of May, we'll see some mobilization. The Oakland Beach Pump Station project is at approximately 95% design. We've received approvals from DEM. We're waiting for some approvals from EPA. And that is mostly because of the tribal influence. There are certain areas in Oakland Beach that have some historic attributes. And we need to make sure that we're covering all the bases and working with the Narragansett tribe. So that's really the last stumbling block. I think that we'll probably be ready to go out for a loan later this year and then bid in at the latest, probably midwinter.
Great. That was a great update. And I may be reaching out to you to get a little more details so I could update the constituents. One of their concerns has been, you know, the bypass, how the bypass is going to be, you know, tunneled under, all that good stuff.
We want to do it the safest manner possible, but also we have to take into consideration a reliable bypass because we don't. The whole reason we're lining is we don't want to have any breaks in the current force main that would cause insult to the environment. So that's really paramount to us moving forward.
Can we make sure to confine our questions to the sewer capital, or rather the sewer enterprise fund budget. And it sounded, at least for part of it, that it was related, but I was having trouble.
It was all related to, you know, spending money in my ward is always related.
You know what I mean.
But thank you.
It is part of our capital improvement plan.
Right, but we're not in the capital budget anymore.
This is enterprise capital improvement.
Right, but the capital fund for
that was the city
sewer, unless I'm mistaken, and I very well may be, because I see pump stations and whatnot. Yep. Sewer department capital program is in the capital fund section. So prior to the enterprise fund, which is what we're on now.
All right, so I got one through you.
Okay.
That's good.
Councilman Lazar.
Yes, thank you. Director, could you send me your job description, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Does any member of the public have anything for sewers, specifically the enterprise fund rather than the capital?
Michelle Comer, Ward 1. Hi, Director. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are your employee pensions and retiree benefits funded?
The same way it's done through the city.
Through the back charge. Through the back charge.
What does that mean?
We back charge a number of expenses back to the sewer and water department. Some of that is department expenses. Some of it is the cost of their health care. Some of it's the cost of their health care and retirement, their pension.
Fringe.
It's late.
It's late. So I want to rephrase the question so I can understand it. So does the city, meaning the city taxpayers, pay your employees' pensions and health care benefits, or because you're an enterprise, so you're revenue-based, yourself revenue. So is the revenue that you take in, do you pay for the pensions, or do city taxpayers pay for it?
They pay for it through the enterprise funds are paying for it.
We get deductions in our
every week. There are deductions on everybody's checks, co-shares, all of it gets
pulled
together, and then we charge it to them.
You're self-generating revenue, and you take care of your own pensions.
It's all a shared pension fund, but we do charge them for the expense of their pension.
Well, I just want to ask the question, do city taxpayers pay the pension on this independent, autonomous enterprise?
The ratepayers do.
The ratepayers do. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That explains it.
We're so funded because any of the revenue that we take in for sewer treatment, would pay our employees, and then the deductions come out of their paycheck. So I guess, in a way, the ratepayers pay our salaries, and then we have deductions that go towards our pensions.
Right. So in that sense, the WSA is independent. You don't rely on city taxpayers' money. You're revenue-based with user fees or treatment fees.
Correct.
Good. Okay. Thank you. On the revenue side,
yes.
Areas that WSA constructed sewers, but the sewage is treated to West Warwick treatment plant. That's Ward 8, I believe, some parts of Ward 8. And then in Ward 9, maybe a little section goes, I can't remember.
The only intermunicipal agreement that we have is with the town of West Warwick.
Okay.
The only intermunicipal agreement.
So what is that agreement? Because I haven't been in tune with it over the years. Is it the user fees that are collected 100% go to West Warwick, or does the WSA?
If the flow goes to them, then they collect the revenue for that flow that goes to them. So there are a certain number of locations within the city of Warwick that do flow to, and a lot of it has to do with the Bald Hill area and Ledge. It was cost prohibitive for us to put sewers in those areas. So what happened was West Warwick accepts the waste, and what we do is we pay them for any upgrades to their treatment facility, treating that waste, and part of their collection system. In fact, they're going through a few different projects right now. Their SCADA project, UV disinfection project, Maisie Quinn pump station, And there's a phosphorus element as well, polymer upgrade system to there. And we pay for a portion of that. It's very low. It's about maybe, in some instance, I think maybe 4% and then 2.4% for those certain projects.
So in those areas where the flow goes to West Warwick and they get the user fees of Warwick residents, how does the WSA fund repairs to the sewer that WSA constructed in Warwick?
That we do, it's based on, we take out loans, state revolving loan fund, SRF loans. And did you say West Warwick or Warwick?
I'm asking
our
for the sewer in Warwick. How do you pay that? That the sewer flow goes to West Warwick. How do you fund repairs to WSA sewer pipes in Warwick?
How do we fund sewer pipes in Warwick? And the flow comes to us? Or are you still talking about West Warwick? Because you said one thing and then you changed.
Okay. So, for instance, in an area where the sewage goes to WSA.
Yes.
The user fees are used for multiple purposes, including repairs, maintenance to the sewer in the ground.
Right.
In this case, with sewage goes to West Warwick, by your agreement, they get all the user fees. So none is left remaining for Warwick to use to maintain the sewer pipes in Warwick. So in effect, so I'm just looking at additional.
Anything that's in Warwick, we are responsible for. Okay?
That's right. But you have no user fees.
But let me finish.
Go ahead.
So we are responsible for all of our infrastructure that resides within the city property line. Okay. Now, with West Warwick, if some of our flow neighborhoods flow to West Warwick and they're doing upgrades on their lines or pump stations, depending on where our flow comes from, originates, and which parts of their collection system we use, if they're working on a line or rehabilitating a line where some of our flow goes through it, we pay a very small percentage, likely about 2.4%. If there's upgrades to their treatment facility, it's a higher percentage. It's 4%. As I said, they're working on their SCADA system. That has to do with their wastewater treatment facility. They're working on their UV disinfection system. That's at the wastewater treatment facility. If the bill is $1 million, we pay 4% of that. And that comes out of our revenue base. We are responsible for that.
Right. But I'm trying to look for more revenue. This agreement with West Warwick is how old?
It's quite old. It's back. It originated back in, I believe, the 80s. And we are looking in that currently.
Okay, that's good, because I don't know how it works out, but that all the users in other parts of the city are supporting repair of the pipes.
Well, it's just like the people who aren't connected to the sewer. They're not providing any revenue to us. And because of that, the other ratepayers are paying for rehabilitation projects, not assessment projects. Assessments are paid by the individuals who are included
Correct.
In the project. So, for example, if you have sewers in your neighborhood and you're not connected to sewers, you're not contributing to the revenue. That's where we get our money to do rehabilitation projects.
Okay.
And to pay for the treatment process and chemicals and salaries.
Okay, right. Because I recall on the sewer review board commission that pensions were paid on the city side. And that's how everybody contributed. Times have changed.
Well, I don't recall that happening unless it was during a time when the sewer authority owed the city money and we paid them back every penny. Maybe there was something going on then, but I don't know of any time when the city paid our pensions. But maybe it was before my time, but I came here in 96.
It was before your time. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Director, a question on line item 080379, administration. In 2024, the audit number was 60,874. In 2025, the actual is 58,401. Your approved budget for this year is 79,500, with a projection of 130,000. In a request for this year of 195,110. What is administration and why has that tripled in the past 2 years?
That is part of the back charge. I think there's actually a timing difference. I did a bit of a correction. Betty Ann says I'm pleasant because I agreed to review the back charge when it was too high. Part of it was just an accounting error. There were some charges in there, like crew cents for the fire department. That doesn't make any sense to back charge to the sewer authority. So we made a correction. Next year, I went through every single expense, everything in there. It should be right for 27. But I think you might have a timing difference in front of you.
Yeah, what I would like is an accounting for this item, starting with fiscal year 2024 audit up to the current request of $195,110. I want to know what the money was spent for. First of all, what is administration? What is that line?
It's a back charge.
It just says
it's just a back charge. It's a back charge from
administration.
It's a what?
The last line. This is all back charges from the general fund. Yeah.
Okay. So we should have a list of all those back charges, and that's what I'm asking for. The breakdown from fiscal year 2024 all the way through the request justifying
$195,110.
That should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not. I don't know.
Oh, yes, I'm all set.
Does anyone have anything for the water department? Councilman Lattice? I saw you grab your mic, so.
I hate it when I get predictable. I'll make it official. So I guess right now the question is conservation and education. What is that line item pertain to? I'm sorry, it's halfway down on page 11. It's 084294.
Certification training.
It's what, please?
Certification training. So the people in water division need to have their distribution licenses. So this is to assist with that certification.
Okay. And I don't know if you would have that the answer to this question. What is the past due amount as of today in for water bills?
Mike St. Pierre, business manager. All right, so I ran a report this past Friday. Basically, the defined criteria on that report was a minimum balance of $500. All right, so anything over $500 would show up on that report, and it was based on 1 day late and above. So that figure was, I actually have an exact figure for you. All right, so when I ran it, it was $1,590,529 million. And that was with the past due of $500 and 1 day, 1 day and above late.
Just so I'm clear, this is in the budget, right?
No, that is outstanding water bills.
So my next, the reason why I asked is because we can't talk about it if it's not in this budget. You can ask why it's not in the budget, if that's what you're going for.
So this is a perfect question. Why isn't, because I didn't see it in here, so why isn't that accounts receivable in this budget? You said, Mike, you said it's $1,590,520?
529.
29.
Yeah, and that represents 1,741 accounts.
And does that include commercial as well?
So that does include commercial. Of 1,741 accounts, 97 accounts are commercial, which represents 5.7%. And the money for commercial represents $200,078 of that $1.59 million.
Again, though, we can't talk about it here. We can ask why it's not here, but that's about it.
Okay, so then I'm going to assume we can't talk about past due notices and that sort of thing. Is that?
Unless it's represented here, then no. If it's represented here, then sure. But again, you can always ask, why isn't it?
Is that amount that you referred to, I'll just use a round number, $1,600,000, is that listed on the revenue side of the budget?
It's actually, yeah. I do not see it on here, but I can tell you this. These reports are generated in part in the upcoming tax sales. All right, so the reports are part of a delinquent notice. So then when the revenues are collected during the tax sale, they are appropriated at certain budget codes. So it's not showing up as revenue on this. I do not see it on the revenue on the budget, but I can tell you that the revenues that are collected during the tax sale are part of, obviously, the outstanding water bills.
Do you know? So I guess the point is, this is another item that isn't showing up, at least from what I'm being told, isn't showing up on the books, which is $1,600,000 that is due us.
I mean, I'm sorry. Your question is, where is the revenue from the tax sale?
No. My question was, the $1,600,000 that is past due on water bills, does that show up in any of the budgets for the water department as a receivable, as a past due, or as a revenue, or whatever?
When the money is collected, it'll be booked as a revenue. So it would be lumped, a prior year collection would be put into regular revenue.
Any particular line in revenue? Or is it one that doesn't appear here currently?
I'm assuming water consumption, right? Because that's how most of your bills go to tax sale and most of your receivables.
So which one was it? I'm sorry.
Water consumption, the first line, 84903.
And which one? I'm sorry. Which one did you say it is?
84903, water consumption. Any bill that is paid, whether it's current year or last year, would be booked there as revenue when the cash is received.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff. What page and whereabouts in the page?
13.
I'm sorry, what page?
13. Page 13. First line, revenue, 84903,
right.
Water consumption.
And which line was it, Director?
84903, the very first line.
I still don't see it. 84, what?
It's a very
first
line.
Oh, I'm sorry. 84903. Okay. So that projection of $3,350,000 includes that $1,006,000 that Mike was just talking about?
It would include the prior year collections, yeah, for a past due bill.
But not that $1,006,000.
Anything we collect of that 1.6 would be reflected there, yes.
Okay. So seeing that there's something in here with revenue and expenses, Mike, has the water department gone back to the policy of sending out past due notices, water shutoff notices, and has the department shut off any water?
And I assume you're asking that so you can see why things might be going up or down to connect it to tonight.
It what?
I assume you're asking that so you can connect.
Yeah, I'm trying to connect the dots here.
All right, I'm trying to help you
make it
relevant.
Okay, so to answer the first part of your question, we send out delinquent notices twice a year. The first time is in February. The second time is in September. As far as shutoffs, the last shutoff that we performed based on non-payment hasn't, we used to do it prior to COVID, and we have not done it since COVID.
And you were actually very instrumental in that committee that I formed way back in the day for designing the yellow past due notice, the mm-hmm. red shutoff notice, implementing the actual shutoff procedures, et cetera.
Right.
So that was done through an ordinance, I believe.
I believe you're correct. And yeah. If memory serves me correctly, I would say that we probably took a good year to finally come to what we all agreed upon to do in the procedures and the verbiage and how we were going to actually perform and how many times we would send those notices out.
It worked very well, and it reduced several million dollars in a couple of years.
Right. So one thing worth noting is when we send delinquent notices out in February, we try to do it prior with enough notice before the tax sale, before the first step in that process of a tax sale. So it's sort of like a reminder to those that have outstanding balances that, all right, we're sending this delinquent notice out, and then shortly thereafter, people start getting notified about the there's a potential that they might be pulled into a tax sale.
And that notice that you're talking about that goes out semi-annually, is that still the original notice that we had designed in that committee?
That is correct.
The yellow notice, the same one?
The only difference is we changed the color. I guess the yellow paper has been a little scarce, so they use sort of like a neon orange.
Serves the same purpose.
Right.
And while I have you in front of me, I'm certainly known for criticizing, but I'm also known for complimenting. And you did a phenomenal job on that committee way back in the day, getting through all these things that we needed to do.
Mm. Well, thank you.
And it was never, we can't do it. It's not possible. We'll figure it out. Mm. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
On first page of expenses line, the water purchase for resale.
Yes.
So you have from the fiscal year to date this year, you're at 3.7 million with a projected collection or expense of 6.8 million. And so my question to you, number one, is the purchase for resale, do we have delayed numbers here because we're...
Nope, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. So I figured that would stick out like a sore thumb. I do anticipate, number one, purchase water. Let me explain to you what that actually is. Purchase water is considered to be a pass-through charge. So the purchase water, that line item is what we pay for the water, a wholesale rate. So we buy our water through the Providence Water Supply on some connections, and on one connection we buy from Kent County Water Authority down in the Forge Road, Pottawamat area. All right, so it's a wholesale rate, and it's a pass-through. We do not make a profit on that. And matter of fact, that rate is set by the PUC. Okay, so to answer your question, and again, it's a good question, is that I anticipate that there's going to be a slight increase. But on the other hand, that purchase water rate just went down in August 1st of 2025. And it went down, the prior rate, which was changed back in August 31st, 2020, that rate was $2,320.88 per million gallons. It went down August 1st of last year to $1,999.99 per million gallons. That's a reduction of 13.8%. So it's my understanding, to the best of my knowledge, is that they're actually, the powers that be are in the process of looking at that water rate right now. And they're looking at it perhaps to even lower it more. So that's why it is the same. I do anticipate that it's going to go up. Number one, that's a forecast figure. There's no exact science behind that. There are certain line items on both the expenses and revenue that they're a forecast because there's no fixed science to it. So I figure, although this line item is going to go up because of the reduced wholesale water rate is going down, it's going to be a wash. So that's why it's the same.
Good answer. Thank you. This PUC, is it the same organization for the gas and electric rates?
That is correct.
Okay. Can you guys go and talk to them? Next question is last line on it, capital improvements. Looks like we have a 30% increase. For 2026, it looks like the flat. But again, year to date, we have 3.6 million, projection of 5 million. Just a little clarification around that, a little context.
All right, so what, and I don't want to speak, but we're in part, go ahead.
We have four major, Jerry Willett, Warwick Water. We have four major projects that we're undertaking this year, the total of which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10.5 million. We're looking to fund 5.5 million out of our budget.
Okay, so your budget is also, your revenue is coming from ratepayers, right?
Correct.
So that gap of 5.5 million to 10, that's also coming from the ratepayers, or is that through a separate budget? You have $10 million in projects you mentioned?
Yes. We've submitted to project priority list and SRF funding. We have not heard back yet. Everything's still in the design phase. We need the design to send to Rhode Island Drinking Water Quality for approval. And at that point, we fully intend to borrow the other $5 million.
Okay, so borrowing. Okay. And last question, we're talking about our tax title. So we have water tax title. Is that also on the agenda for Friday's tax title? Yes. All right. So same question. You know, we have a separate line item here. We're looking at the estimated revenues that we have zeros in both of these. So I sent a request to the finance director for the real estate tax. I'd like to add on and get the water tax information also.
Can you just, what question are you looking for?
So is a list, you know, basically a list of the tax title property and the estimated amounts.
So the tax sale or the tax sale?
The value of the tax, the estimated tax, or the outstanding.
They gave it to you tonight, 1.14 million. 1.59.
1.5? Okay, I missed.
Yeah, that was the outstanding delinquent over $500 one day or more.
Got it. So that will appear there. So we don't have any revenue numbers there yet.
Correct.
But we'll.
Friday, this is the tax sale.
All right, so we'll make sure we do that. All right, great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Do any members of the public have anything for the Water Enterprise Fund?
My name is Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm. And I think we're talking about the capital, right? The Water Enterprise Fund? I don't want to be out of touch here.
So we're just talking about the water budget. So it has to be within that boundaries. We already passed the capital, which included both water and sewer. Though that being said, there is in fact a line item in water that says capital improvements. So if you want to talk about something that falls under that, that works. But otherwise,
I'm talking about water department capital improvement. Okay. And there's one item in here, Buttonwoods Inlet Water Main Replacement. And what it says is it's a grant, and it says in the year 26, there was $2,500,000 allocated. Now, we've had these discussions before during the year, and that was not in the budget last June. We were talking in September and October about a $2 million possibility to fix the Buttonwoods water. But now it doesn't matter. It's in the budget for $2,500,000. And the question I have is, how can the city spend this money, even though it's federal money, unless they're spending it on public infrastructure? I have all these people telling me that Buttonwoods is private, that they're not public roads. Of course, you know my position on this. And I just want to remind all you folks that you're putting in $2,500,000 into a capital budget in a public facility, not a private facility. And that's called Buttonwoods Avenue in the Buttonwoods Fire District. The fire district is a municipality. It's a public entity. It's not a private government. It's not a private enterprise. It's a public enterprise. And I just want to remind you that a few years ago, you put $8,500,000 into this project for the sewers. And now you're going to put in another $2,500,000. I agree, these are federal funds, but they're administered through the city. So I just want to be able to come to City Hall and say, the Buttonwood streets are public. You're putting $10 million into it. Let's be fair about this. And I thank you very much.
So we can't really get into that on your side, because that is in fact from the capital budget section rather than the water department. Because I see it right here. All right, does anyone else have anything for water department enterprise fund? All right, seeing none, we move on to transfers / supplemental appropriations / emergency appropriations. Oh, good point, which is PCR 5526. Anyone have any questions on this one? Any members of the public have anything, questions regarding PCR 55-26 resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations? Seeing none, do we have a motion to close the public hearing on PCR 5525 and PCR?
Motion to close the public hearing on PCR 5526.
We're looking for 5526 and for 5626.
55 and 5626, yes, thank you.
So motion to close the public hearing in that regard, and it's seconded by Councilman Muto. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Do we have a motion to hold PCR 55-26 and PCR 5626 to May 21st, 2026?
Motion to hold.
Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right. That's it for tonight. See everyone Thursday at 6:30 p.m.